Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Dip, 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 dip. Good evening. This is Labor Exchange. I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject of tonight's program is an update, Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO. And with us is the main man, Jason Waldrop, Business Manager, Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO. Jason, great to have you back here at KGNU.
I enjoy it. Thank you for inviting me.
Jason, let's begin with some background, and that'll be as per our previous interview. And for this KGNU listening audience, especially our new and younger listening members, how long have you been a union member? And beyond that, could you discuss detail your journey from apprentice to a fully certified journeyman with Sheet Metal Workers Local Union 9?
Absolutely. I became a union member in February of 1996. My first project was working for a company called Air Systems on the Craig Hospital project. It was the second expansion of it. We did that. And then from there, I went on to be, I went through my whole apprenticeship with Air Systems, almost 5 years.
I saw that on your LinkedIn resume, 4 years and 7 months. That's a long time.
You know what? It was good, though. I mean, I had kids to raise, so it's good to keep working. I went to a company for Nacken for a few months when things got slow over at Air Systems, and they sensed to cease to exist and went out of business, of course. Then I had the opportunity to go to work for another company by the name of Skidmore. It was a really young company. Thought I could build my way up. Of course, I did. I became a foreman and a lead man in several different projects, including, the Fitzsimmons Research One project and several others. So that was pretty awesome, I thought.
Yeah, that's great. And you were pretty young at the time to, assume all that responsibility. And I heard you mention Natkin. That was my first employer out of Rocky Mountain Arsenal, out of the Labor's Union. They had a labor maintenance contract there at Shell Chemical. And, back in the day, and you know this too, they were a good company. Things change. Anyway, Jason, how long have you been the business manager of the Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO, and what are some of your everyday challenges with this position?
I was elected in August of 2017 to the building trades. From the sheet metal workers. I was a business representative over at Smart Sheet Metal Division, Local 9, for 11 years, and I came over here. Our biggest challenges every day are still making sure that people know who we are. We're out there. We're still taking the opportunity to, knock on doors, cold call, and whatever it takes. We need to start getting more work. We need good apprentices. We need to make sure that we're starting apprenticeship readiness programs wherever we can. As you know, a lot of the schools don't have, the tech schools or that type of thing, classes that I went through, like automotive or wood shop or metal shop. Those are all gone. So we're trying to create readiness programs where they can come to our apprenticeships and learn how to do a trade or get an understanding of all of our trades so they can kind of make an educated decision if they don't want to go to college.
Jason, now... some more things about yourself, because it's pretty impressive. Could you discuss your past and present union leadership positions, not just like with Sheet Metal Workers Local Union Number 9, but the Colorado AFL-CIO and a little outside the box, the Arapahoe-Douglas Workforce Board, and anything else I may have forgot there?
Yeah, there for a while I had more titles than I had kids. I only have two kids, so that's only funny if you know that. I also am on the Uninsured Workers' Comp Board through the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment, and I have been there for a year now. I was confirmed by a Republican Senate majority in a hearing, and I was appointed by the governor to that position. And that particular role, we're trying to create a fund that helps out people that are injured on the job from inscrupulous contractors or employers that do not have workman's comp. And so we're trying to help them out. We're trying to create a fund that helps them, be able to pay for their house and that type of stuff. I'm also on, of course, the Arapahoe-Douglas workforce board. I've been there for about 3 years. I'll probably not return there here pretty quick. I seem to have other meetings almost every time one of their meetings come across. But there again, it's about workforce development when we get into those programs.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about that more later. And like I shared with you before the interview, and you already knew this, is it for, I think, 206 through 216, I was served 5 2-year terms on as a labor representative for, my union, Glazers Union 930, and Painters District Council 15 for Workforce Boulder County. And you're right, there's a lot of meetings, because I got to end up having, chair of this committee, like the youth committee, and then that was another meeting, and there's meetings, and then there's activities. It's a lot of work, and there's no compensation. Anyway, you didn't, in the Colorado AFL-CIO, you had a leadership position there, too.
I sure did. I was the president of the AFL-CIO for a little over 2 years.
Yeah, and that was more like a title position, but, you basically ran all the executive board meetings.
I ran all the meetings, that's right. And then I did a lot of work. We had to replace staff on a regular basis in there. That was a second job all by itself. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy, I'm glad someone else got into enjoying jobs that don't pay.
I got it from my mom, Dennis.
You did? No, you told me about your mom. Your mom is a saint,
She is.
Let's move into the content and the subject of the show, the Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO. Jason, who is the Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO, and what is its ongoing mission?
Ah, that's a great question. So I'll just name the trades that are affiliated real quick so that people know. Starting with boilermakers, brick masons, floor coverers, electricians, elevator constructors, glaziers, insulators and iron workers, laborers, operating engineers, painters, drywall finishers, plasterers, cement masons, plumbers and pipe fitters, reinforcing iron workers are the ones that tie the rebar inside the concrete, roofers, sheet metal workers, sprinkler fitters and teamsters. I have them all underneath my banner, and that is a challenge by itself, keeping all those guys going the same direction.
And I think the way the whole number is that how many craft unions are affiliated, and on the website it says 24. And
There's 14 crafts and 24 overall local unions in the state of Colorado that are under our banner.
Yeah, national and international unions that they represent. But this is another good number, is that how many skilled union working men and women are there in the state of Colorado working and affiliated with the building trades?
Yeah, I think it's about 10,000. It's right around 10,000 is what we get affiliation participation on. And then we don't have the carpenters and the millwrights underneath our banner, but we work with them. But overall, there could be potentially well over 30,000.
Yeah, that's the number I was looking at. So, there's 30,000 at the... But they're playing dog pow on the rabbit sometimes, at where you're setting the pace for certain things that you, get negotiated and everything like that, and they go, me too, but then they don't want to pay their dues and everything like that. But, I've always said this about the building trades in terms of trying to get everybody organized under one banner, and that it's like herding cats.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, everybody has their personal stuff, and then we have the stuff we can work together on. And my job is to work on the stuff we work together on.
Let's educate this KGNU listening audience with this. I have it under just three words, the local union. So from your website, quote unquote, the local union is the basic unit of the building trades. So Jason, again, for this KGNU listening audience, especially our new and younger listening members, can you explain detail how the quote-unquote local union unites workers, represents them, negotiates contracts for the workplace needs, and dispatches them to union employers for meaningful and gainful work with good wages, benefits, working conditions, etc.?
Yeah, the local union is actually the focal point of all unions, right? So that's the first place, no matter where you go, that it would be recognized. When you want to get into a trade, you'll go to the local union, which will be a representative of the overall craft unions. So you would go to them, you'd sign up for the apprenticeship program in them, unless you were already a tradesperson, and then you go to the prospective trade union, and you could join with joining the local union, and then you'd be involved with the international union. The local union's primary job is to negotiate wages, benefits, and working conditions for every single individual treated the same. They work hard. They get a good retirement, health care for, in most cases, their whole family. That is really the target of the building trades, local unions, to take care of their workers.
And it's not always easy.
Never easy. No, never easy.
And you trying to, and once you do get something in place with the union contract, then you have to enforce it.
You do. You do, absolutely. I mean, everybody wants $100 an hour, except for if we had $100 an hour for every one of our for our contracts, then we would never get any work because everybody else is working for $16 an hour. So, yeah, and then enforcement, absolutely. When things are going awry, there's a difference of opinion. Of course, you would absolutely need to enforce that, what's written in writing, and you could work through the National Labor Relations Board or, you know, if you have arbitration or whatever it might be necessary.
And I think for, like, skilled craft unions, you know, and sheet metal is certainly one of them, plumbers, electricians, and there's a number of others, but this listening audience needs to know that if they go through like you did hard work. You went 4 years and 7 months in an apprenticeship, but someone at your category, journeyman, and at your experience in like being a foreman or supervisor, it's not uncommon, someone's going to maybe gasp at this, for someone like yourself that, you know, working 2,080 hours a year with some overtime, there's a chance you could make $75,000 to $100,000 a year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did spend, you know, I was unemployed for probably a month in my history, and I've been very fortunate. Worked very hard, but I was very, very fortunate. And, you know, even when I took that 1 month off, that 1 year in 2004, I still made over 1,950 hours.
And that's great. And yeah. And the thing is that then you're building up, you know, medical benefits, you know, like you said, it's just not for you, but for your wife and your family as well.
Absolutely.
And it's real important. Let's go into this, again, in line with the building trades before we move on to some other, you know, kind of subtitles with the building trades. But this is, I have under, quote unquote, democratic unions. Could you discuss the process of how the Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council union members elect their own officers and the responsibilities of these elected officers?
The the election is a true democracy. I mean, it is voted per person in every single union. It's not done by, you know, the Western Slope or the, you know, whatever. Each union, absolutely, or county, I guess is what I should say about it. But they all get a vote, and each vote counts for that person to be able to become or to elect a leadership of their local union. And those people are chosen to negotiate the contract for wages, working benefits and working conditions. So I think truly and honestly, be a local union, it's not somebody waving a wand or it's somebody's brother or sister. It's a true democracy.
Yeah, because you'll have sometimes, like for a position like yours on the local union level, like sheet metal workers, or like, you know, like with the glazers union, or like with the painters union, that you may have two or three people running the one for the main job. But sometimes there's other positions, too, that aren't paying, but, you know, they're decision-making positions were important. President and vice president and trustees and so on and so forth.
Right. I was a president and an executive board before I became a union representative through Smart Local 9.
And that gave you a valuable experience about, you know, how you might run a union if, in fact, you ever were elected.
Absolutely. You had intimate knowledge of how the Constitution worked. And how the local union and bylaws and working rules worked.
All right, then, Jason, we're doing pretty good here. I'll get right back to you. For those of you who have joined us late, this is the Labor Exchange. I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject for tonight's program is an update. Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO. And with us is Jason Wardrop, business manager, Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO. Jason, I'm going to move on now into one of your specialties, something you've already talked about a little bit from just your own personal experience, but that's apprenticeship. I want to talk some more about this. September this month, 2018, is Workforce Development Month. Second week, focused on apprenticeships through the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. Quote unquote, this state agency is raising awareness of the important role of apprenticeships and how they can play in preparing young people with qualifications and competencies they will need in order to progress in their chosen career. And that was the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment release, September 12, 2018. So could you expand on this statement and discuss how the Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council and its affiliated unions provide very highly qualified and successful programs on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, we have the best training programs out there. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but the reality is I believe that the building trades locally and nationally have the best training programs out there for each individual craft. And, you know, when people say apprenticeship, man, I'm so excited. People talk about what we do and they start recognizing people like me that just were not going to go to college. And this is just that one step to start helping work through other avenues. You don't want to, I mean, we come out of our trades with no debt. In many cases, very little money. If you have to buy a book or something, it's very menial, but very low cost and no debt. And we come out of there, frankly, making, you know, $50, $60 an hour with all benefit package and everything, just like you said, you know, so earlier. So, yeah, anyways, apprenticeship, man, that's like the heart of what we do and who we are. And really a focal point of my job now is to make sure that people know what apprenticeships do and talks about reinvestment into communities and municipalities. You know, some of the smaller communities that are always been self-sustaining, they want to continue sustaining, but there's no shop classes to help those kids make that next level. Or they didn't grow up on a farm where everything had to be made anyways. So we have to teach them how to do that. And really apprenticeships create reinvestment in small community, big community, municipalities, the state.
And like, not just with you, but others I've had from the building trades on this program and that, you are, and you would direct people, you'd be very receptive if anyone would want to come visit some of the training programs. Because like, I've been in yours, in, you know, sheet metal workers, and you know, I walk in there, it looks like I'm walking into like, not just a community college class, but it could be a setting of class up here at the CU School of Engineering. And also like the pipe fitters, you know, very sophisticated, you know, classrooms and you know, the learning tools and everything like that and equipment and electricians and so on and so forth. So yeah, it's always very impressive. And so any of you out there listening, you know, you could just get a hold of, you know, Jason at jwardrip@cbctc.com, and he'll show you the way and let you know how to get that done.
I'll tell you just a quick follow-up on that is that all, you know, I haven't been in a single one of our apprenticeships that absolutely do not look like a working shop. You can walk in there, you're going to start from scratch, and you can build out a whole system, you can understand the systems. We have amazing places to visit. And so if somebody was thinking that their kid, or if they were looking at changing careers, man, absolutely call me. I want to get you into those programs. And frankly, they pretty much all have open doors.
I think one of the best stories I heard, and I think you can confirm this, you had someone who immigrated here from Russia and they had a PhD in engineering. And they joined the apprenticeship program in the sheet metal workers.
Yeah, Sergey, he's awesome over at the sheet metal workers.
And then he eventually became, obviously, a superintendent for one of your top companies.
Yeah, he's crazy smart.
Yeah, and I love that story.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Let's move on to I've talked about this usually on Memorial Day with, you know, building trades members that are, you know, veterans and everything. But it's always good to talk about it. And it's, quote, unquote, helmets to hard hats. So could you take some time to talk about this highly successful program initiated by the North American Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO, Washington, D.C., and how it's greatly assisted veterans in entering the building trades and finding and maintaining good-paying construction jobs with medical benefits, pension, and working conditions?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the things, this is another one that's just true to my heart. I just love this stuff. You know, think about this, is that if you sign up for 5 years, you got a good opportunity, you learned how to work, and you need something to do once you get out. We created a program that would help our veterans come out of the military whenever they chose to and have a path to a great way to make a living. I mean, getting an apprenticeship, most of them pay you to go to an apprenticeship program. You get paid, you get a good job, they send you out to work. I mean, and we want the veterans because we know they're going to work, and they are going to be hard workers. They're not going to be late to work. They're not going to be on their cell phones. They are going to do a great job. To me, you know, helmets of hard hats. I have met, you know, my daughter's a veteran. She is currently in Virginia Beach, and she has a lot of friends that are beyond, you know, social media and tell, well, you know, they say that I can't do this and I can't do that. And I said, you know, between helmets of hard hats, veterans and piping, smart heroes, all these are programs that get you into a trade to be able to come out of the military and make a fantastic living. And you still have the benefits to take care of your kids when you get out, if you only do a short term. If you do a long term and you want to retire, you know, heck, we'll take a CB all day long. Those guys know exactly how to build stuff. That's their job. So anyways, I think, to me, this is one of the things that's important to us. You're going to see one of the biggest influx of unemployed people if they decide to start, you know, bringing military folks home hand over fist, which I'm in favor of. Let me make that clear. I really like to see all of our men and women come home.
So would I.
But anyhow.
Anyway, thanks for talking about that. And it is a great program. Let's move on to this before I forget. And it's organizing. People always want to talk about organizing. And I do, too, because we've both been organizers. So let's begin with the right to organize in the context of the law stated in the National Labor Relations Act. What are the rights of workers and employees in the process of organizing? And what are some of the obstacles presented by non-union employers?
That is probably the hardest question you're asking me today, Dennis. You know, everybody has a right to organize. If you're working in a working condition and more than one person feels like they need to have a union representative or somebody to bring everybody together in the way of a union, bring a contract so everybody's treated fairly, they all have the right to organize. They all have the right to, you know, go to a prospective union that covers their work. I don't care whether it's service workers, construction workers, it does grocery store workers. They can all organize. They have to go through an election process. They have to be able to win that election 50% plus one. Now, here's a caveat. In the state of Colorado, outside of the construction industry, you have to have two elections. And you have to win that second election by 75% of the voting of the votable people. And so, in other words, 75% of the voting community has to vote in favor of a union outside of the building construction trades.
So you can get a union security agreement.
That's correct. And that means that everybody in that facility will be union.
And basically on your website, and it just, you know, I'll read it because, you know, just it's real short. Employees shall have the right to self-organization, to form, join, or assist labor organizations, to bargain collectively through representatives of their own choosing, and to engage in concerted activities for the purpose of collective bargaining of other mutual aid or protection. So that pretty much sums it up the way it is. But, you know, we both, you know, so we got that part covered, but again, like, what are the obstacles in you presented by non-union employers? They can be pretty bad.
They can be really bad. I mean, I've seen some really unscrupulous contractors. I've seen some good contractors that just didn't want to be union, that did everything in their power to not be union. You know, they stretched it out longer than a year. They made them have a second election. I've seen them where they bring in somebody from somewhere talking about how horrible collective bargaining agreement is. And the bottom line is, in my humble opinion, that they like to be the ones in charge. They don't want to have to agree to make everybody in the room happy. And so when you have that whole idealism and you have a discomfort of, you know, what do you mean I can't just stop paying health benefits? What do you mean I can't just not have a retirement plan? Well, it's because you've agreed to work with us to do that. And they don't like that idea. It is a huge hurdle. And they often employ people to create scare tactics. I mean, I've seen some pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, we both have.
Yeah.
And we've just always got to fight it. But it's important, and I'll just go beyond this is what I was going to ask, but, you know, it's a foregone conclusion. This is important in the context of sustained increased membership, but also protecting our really good union contractors, employers, not just here in the state of Colorado, but throughout the United States. Jason, let's move on to this. We have about 5 minutes left, or maybe 4 minutes left, or 3 minutes. we're doing so good. And I have this under political activity. We both know there's an election coming up, Tuesday, November 6, 2018. What special efforts will you, the Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, and its affiliated unions be making to increase voter turnout for this very important midterm election? And with that said, why is it important for all construction workers, especially union construction workers, to support and elect labor-friendly candidates on the local, state, and federal level?
You know, just in general, my whole purpose is that I am walking and knocking and trying to help out candidates. And the candidates that we select are people that are willing to work with us. I don't care what party they're in. If they're going to work with us, I want to work with them. We have a slate of candidates that have great records or great responses in working with us. And to be honest with you, I'm tired of going into the offices of some of these legislators and they think I'm a third-class citizen, which none of us are, and not being willing to talk to us. And I need the help to make sure that we're able to, you know, really not just unions, but the middle class. We have to protect the middle class. And that's what the whole point of all this stuff is.
Because we have some issues out there that are just constant. Prevailing wage, that's on a federal level. And, you know, this Trump administration and others are doing what they can to kind of to destroy that. And but he's also backed up and basically lied. We were really looking forward to it, infrastructure funding. You know, the $1 trillion or whatever it was. But it's not there. It's just not happening. It would be good for all our craft unions, particularly carpenters, laborers, cement masons, electricians, teamsters, operating engineers, and heavy and highway contracts to build roads and build bridges. But, you know,
not to mention, it'd be cheaper on your pocketbook when you blow out a tire.
Yeah, it'd be instead. And then we've already talked about how the funding for apprenticeship, you know, oftentimes is with elected officials.
Absolutely. Best value contracting as well, where we want to have reinvestment with apprenticeships, healthcare, and that type of thing. And we try to get that in through legislature, and we call it best value contracting instead of bottom dollar contracting.
And here's hoping that, and I think you're going to be working hard, and I'm going to do what I can to, you know, in a generic collective way to keep promoting, you know, not just the high voter turnout, but record-setting voter turnout for this coming election. So, Jason, we have about a minute left, maybe a little less, but I always get into a summary. Do you have any final thoughts or comments for this KGNU listening audience in the context of tonight's subject, an update, Colorado Building and Construction Trades Council, AFL-CIO?
Just if somebody wants to get their kids involved with apprenticeship programs, if somebody has somebody we need to talk to about investment in infrastructure or housing or anything like that, we have avenues to help out as much as we possibly can, and I'd love to talk to them.
And your contact information quickly?
It's jwardrip@cbctc.com or 303-717-8270.
Jason, great job. Thank you for being on Labor Exchange at KGNU. And if anybody has any comments about this show or any other show on KGNU, please call 303-447-9911. And next week, Monday, September 24th, 2018, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been the Labor Exchange, and I am Dennis Kreese for KGNU Community Radio. Yep.